Hey guys, welcome back to Talk Tennis Tea, and today I have a special episode for you guys. You guys voted that you wanted to see more challenger stuff, so I have a challenger episode for you guys where I'm basically talking about the challenger tour and specifically the next gen in the tour. But before we get into that, if you guys are wondering where did I see this vote, how can I see these votes, then make sure you're following me on my social media. That is at Talk Tennis Tea on Instagram and at Twitter. So that'll be in the link below as usual, but let's get straight into this. So before, sadly we have to start with something that's really bad, because the ATP Next Gen account, as you guys know, I've been very vocal about the whole Next Gen as a whole, but and I've really praised the Next Gen Instagram account, but this week I had it to my wit's end. I was done with them because they, as you guys know, I've talked about the weekly schedule that they post before. And they post basically where all the Next Gen players are playing. And this week, someone did not do their job properly because they missed out five guys in one of the Challenger Tours. And I understand that it's hard to fit all the names in the space, but if you guys are dedicated to putting all of them in there, you might, if you guys are dedicated to doing a schedule, you might as well just put all of the names in there. Like, don't leave people out just because, you know, they're not going to fit, or you don't think people are going to watch them. Like, I use that as, like, a reference so I know what I need to look at, what things to make you guys look at as well. So it's kind of hard when they don't put stuff like that on. So as you guys know, if you follow me on Instagram, I did have a rant about it. I put up a story. I even tweeted on Twitter about it because I was just so fed up with them. And it wasn't the fit. Like, this is the time I've called them out on it, but I've seen it happen so many other times where they haven't put up the actual correct amount of people, and I'm like, surely they forgot, or they put up a decent amount so then people will just look for themselves. But it's kind of like people who don't have the tennis apps, people who don't regularly look at the score websites and all that kind of stuff, or people who don't regularly look at the ATP Challenger Tour or even the Next Gen won't actually know, because they're like, oh, they provide the service for me, they're gonna do it, so I assume the information is correct. You know what I mean? So it's just kind of like, you know, just do your job properly, ATP Next Gen. Like, you're there for media people, just do your job properly. Like, you know, it just kind of annoyed me because, like, you're supposed to be promoting them, all of them. And, like, if you guys saw my tweet on Twitter, I just said, did you guys forget or did you just put the best ones? Because to me, it seemed like, I think it was Miomir Kuzmanovic and Michael Moe that were put on, and I can't remember who else. I think that was it. Those two that were put on at the Aptos Challenger. And I was like, yes, those guys are good, but have you only put them in the schedule because they're the top guys at the moment? Like, Miomir has come off. He was playing USA League tennis, and his team won. I think there was something Lasers. They won, and he was the MVP of the team. So that's awesome for him. Congratulations to Miomir for that. And then Michael Moe is just amazing. He plays some amazing tennis, and he's pretty big in America as one of the younger, but not quite Next Gen boys, so who hasn't really made their come up yet. So, and he's pretty good. So I was like, did you just pick them because they're the most popular ones and you want people to be attracted because they're the most popular ones? But at the end of the day, like, I support so many guys that I need to know who was actually at which tournament, because I had to go and, like, I knew who was playing, but when I looked at the schedule, I was like, oh, funny that, like, you'd never know. And I think one lady even commented on the Instagram post saying, what about Lloyd Harris? And that's just like, come on, ATP Next Gen Media, come on, guys, like, let's get on top of it, like, let's not have this stuff happening again, because we will call you out on it, and it does affect a lot of people. And I know so many people who don't watch the Challenger Tour because they're like, oh, my favorite's never shown, or they don't tell me, all this kind of stuff, like, I don't know where to see it. But just a PSA, if you guys go into the ATP World Tour ATP World Tour website, there is a Challenger button, and that takes you to the separate website, which is the Challenger Tour website, and it gives you all the information. And, like, I don't have to go on streaming sites because I literally watch everything from that website. It is the best. And then if you guys have the scoring app or whatever app you guys use, you can see all the, I think you can see draws and all that kind of stuff on most of them. Otherwise, you can just see the live scoring. But they're honestly so great, so highly invest in that, because, we can't trust the ATP account now, because they've shown us, like, they miss out stuff. So that was just my sad point of the week. But anyway, moving on to some good stuff. Going to Aptos, which is the Nordic National Challenges in California, where a majority of the next gen were playing who weren't playing in Toronto. Where it was honestly such a good turnout for them, but sadly they didn't have the best results. Most of them losing in the first round, others doing well, and then you have some who are playing doubles as well, which is awesome. I think the Nasty Kokkinakis was also playing there, and as you guys know, I gave him a bit of a roasting and a bashing last week after his poor performance in Los Cabos, but he did end up winning the doubles with Taylor, or not winning, sorry, they came runner-up in the doubles with Taylor Fritz in Los Cabos, so that was good. And then also in the lineup is Lloyd Harris, which is a next gen from South Africa, and he won the Lexington title last week in Kentucky, which I was also following, and that was another challenger they did, so that was really good for them. And the good thing about this challenge is I've just loved watching it because the commentators are so great. Like, it's been so amazing. And the doubles action. Like, I never used to watch doubles, but doubles is so good. So there are two Aussie teams and a whole lot of other teams, but the Aussies have been really doing well. They're all both in the semifinals, which are playing tomorrow, which is the 11th of August. So make sure you check that out. Or if you haven't, watch the highlights or just find the score somewhere. Honestly, don't miss out these matches because they're so good. But yeah, so the doubles pairings are Max Purcell and Mark Pullmans, MP, and then Matty Reid and Thanasi Kokkinakis are appearing, and it's honestly the greatest. Like, some of the shots that these boys are making, honestly good. And I was watching the doubles, I think I was watching Max and Mark play against Denis Novikov and someone, two Americans. So there's two Aussie boys versus two Americans. And these two American guys, they were quite older than the boys, but they were rough. Like, some of the balls they were hitting to their body, they were body shots and, like, hitting face shots as well. And I was like, please don't hurt them. Like, they're just little boys. They haven't done anything wrong. But it was just, it was so, like, the level of doubles. Like, sometimes you forget the Challenger Tour is, like, a side spin-off of the main tour. But the level that they play, I sometimes think, it, like, some of the quality. Like, I've seen some quality-ass matches on the Challenger Tour. And it's just, like, it's exactly the same. Just, they don't have the greatest ranking. So it's honestly worth watching, guys. The next Challenger that was happening this week is Jinan International Open, which is in Asia. And that was a hard court surface, if you guys want to know. And that was where Alex Pipperin is playing. And as I record this, it's like going into the semi-finals weekend. So semi-finals will be played this weekend and finals obviously Monday, Sunday. So he's in the semi-finals. So good luck to him. Hopefully he does well. But he's had a good tournament run. And the next one, another challenger that was happening is Isara Open. And that was somewhere in Europe, where Casper Rudd was playing, and he sadly lost in the first round, 3-set defeat to Tim Poitz, who has moved on in the tournament, and like I said, it's semi-final, so we don't know where he's ended up, but Casper Rudd is obviously out of that. Casper's been doing really well so far. Like, he's had some pretty good matches. He's definitely one to look out for, and I think in the rankings, if we go to the race to Milan, he's sitting at 8th position, and this is obviously taking out Sasha, so you have one more. So it's Stefanos, Alex Demonor, Denis Shapovalov, Francis Tiafoe, Andre Rublev, Taylor Fritz, Xiaomin Muneux, and then Casper Rudd, who is in the 9th position at the moment. Obviously Sasha, I don't think, is going to be playing the ATP Next Gen Finals, just because, like we discussed this, I don't think he's no longer can be classified as part of that. Maybe he'll play a exhibition match like he did last year, but definitely not anything that's going to happen. But yeah, so Casper is in 9th position, and then Michael Moe is in 12th. Felix is in number 2. Mark Pullmans is in number 15, Lloyd Harris 16, Jay Clark, the British, is in number 19, Miomir Kecmanovic is 22, Mark Palmer's 24, Alexi Peperin is 29. So these boys have a lot of work to do before the end of the year runs. So there's quite a lot of these guys. And obviously, I feel like once the top 30 next gen really move up, then the next 100 can actually get a chance, because it's just kind of like the top 30 of these next gen boys are really going to be the ones to watch out in the next coming future. So that is it. And from, if you guys are wondering, from about 8 down in the race list is boys who are playing in Challenger Tour. So that is pretty good. And the ones dominating are obviously the big guns that have done well this year. So I guess mostly about the Challenger Tour, and the reason why I wanted to really do this podcast is just to basically say, hey, the Challenger Tour is there and you guys should definitely go watch it because it's so amazing. Like, I didn't realize how much I enjoy and love watching the Challenger Tour because it's so easy and it's so available. But it's really easy, and it's so, like, the ATP have made it so easy. Like, they provide free streaming that you don't have to worry about as your site's going to work. The time zones, like, everything's done for you. Just go to the website, everything's streaming there for you. It's just amazing. You can see them on the apps, the live scoring app. It's just all there for you. But I think I've just got little things here just to, I guess, hype it up a little bit more, because I really think it's part of that next gen appreciation. Like, there's a whole lot of next gen that aren't being showcased that are on the Challenger Tour, and the reason they're not being showcased is they don't get that big and at a level. And it's kind of like, I've watched Challenger matches, and on the live stream you can tell how many people are watching, and sometimes it says 85, and then other days it'll be like 100, some other days it'll be 600, and I'll be like, why is it changing? And it's just because, I don't know, so maybe it's just the time of people, or just that people have no time or not. But other times it's just like the person who's actually playing. Like this week, since the Nasi was playing in Aptos, I saw a rise in the number of people watching just because there was a bigger name playing. And one that's great, and I know boys like Stefano Tsitsipas, Felix, Alex Demonor, they all play Challenger Tours, and that obviously helps because their fans are like promoting them and they're watching as well. But it helps the people who run the challenges and like the commentators and just other competitors as well, because it gives them something to fight for. And like I've seen firsthand when I was looking at the Challenger Tour, like some of the matches, like the stadiums are completely empty, but it's just like, you know, there's people watching at home. Like I watch at home, it's not like we can all fly to America and watch them. But yeah, that's just my opinion. But anyway, my reasons to love the Challenger Tour are below, so keep listening for these. So number one is the commentators. The commentators are so funny, and I feel like because they're smaller tournaments, they have a better grasp on the players' personalities, how the players are actually working. And I'm going to use Mark Pullman's as an example. I don't know the commentator's name, but he is amazing. He's been commentating the USTA. He was commentating Lexington in Kentucky last week, and he's commentating Aptos this week. And I have just, every match I've watched, he's commentating, and he's just been absolutely quality. So he basically, like, he just gives you an insight on the player and tells you stuff that most commentators, like, most commentators are good, but, like, I don't know, I just feel like it's that American. Maybe it's just because he's American and he's absolutely hilarious. But, like, he just gives that extra knowledge, you know kind of mean? Like, it just makes it a little more personal. Like, you actually know the guy. But, like, he was talking about Mark Pullman's and how Mark Pullman's plays ping pong. And if you guys haven't seen the video, either go to Mark Pullman's Instagram account. He posted it. Or I think I've retweeted it on Twitter, so check that out. But he was talking about Mark Pullman's playing ping pong and, like, how he's so fierce and how he gets so into it. And it was so hilarious because, like, as soon as he said that, I, like, literally went on Instagram and I saw the video and I was like, oh my god, it's actually true. But it's just something like that. And, like, you just hear, like, these commentators, they actually big up the players because they know how hard it is to be on the tour. And, like, I've seen, like, some of the shots that these guys were making, and I cannot stress this enough. Some of the shots they were making were absolutely ridiculous. Like, honestly, I was shocked at some of them. And you would think, like, Max Purcell. He had some of these amazing, like, he was firing aces left, right, and center. He had these amazing forehand winners that he was doing literally bullets down the line, cross court. I was just like, how do you have a four, like, a love for losing streak? Like, what is happening? But honestly, some of these guys, like, it's just unfortunate that sometimes the level doesn't get up to the standards of their opponents, or sometimes they just, then it's just, you don't know reasons for them losing, but it's just like their game quality is, it's up there. And Mark Pullman's, I was watching the doubles match, I think it was earlier on in the week, either Monday or Tuesday, and he had some amazing lobs, and there was one lob he hit and he was literally running into the bound, like the fence, but separating the court and the watchers, like the viewers in the crowd, and I was like, that is honestly ridiculous. Like, he was, and the commentator was like, he's practically climbing the fence to hit the lob, and I was like, the hustle, like, all these boys on the Challenge Tour hustle as much as all the boys on the normal tour, so you just know that they're giving it everything that they've got just to play, and it's honestly, it's so good. And even some other guys, and I'm just naming those two to name a few, but like, other guys have just sheer hitting power is just off of the court. Like, you definitely know, like, if they were put up in a ring against, I don't know, Alexander Zverev or like Nadal or whatever, they would give them a run for their money. Like, just because their ranking is like in the 200 something does not mean they're not good. Like, I think that's the one thing we have to stress, just because their ranking is up there, like lower, does not mean they are not good, because some of the tennis quality out here, I'm just like, how are you ranked at 200 and something? Like, legitimately, I don't understand. But, you know, that's just how it goes sometimes. And that's just, yeah. Like I said, these boys work so hard because it's their dream and their passion. And some of them, it's not easy to be up there and do that constantly as a job, but you know what, they have some amazing talent on the Challenger Tour, and I highly recommend you guys to check this out. And it was, this was a fun episode to film. I feel like I've let out all the stuff, because I, like, recently I have been watching the Toronto Masters and all that. I've been following that, but I've been more like it's just so much easier to watch Challenger Tour, just because it's there and I don't have to like load up multiple streams at a time to watch it, you know what I mean? Like, it's just been so easy and it's so readily available, and I just love it. But otherwise, it's been really good. I really enjoyed this podcast. If you guys want to see more Challenger Tour podcasts like this, or just me talking about Challenger Tours, then definitely. Oh, another thing I was going to mention is that, I think I forgot this, but Challenger Tours, I don't know, they're kind of a stigma, and I was watching some of the, when you watch some of the matches, the advert is like, the Challenger Tour is where you can see how good some of these players are. Like, some players say it's difficult, it's definitely increasing in intensity, and it's like, yeah, it's increasing in intensity because these players are really good, and it's no longer the place where, like, people come up to play. Like, you can earn a pretty decent living. It seems like you can earn a pretty decent living if you're just winning Challenger Tour titles. Like, it's not as much as if you're winning, like, Grand Slams and Masters 5000, Masters 1000s and, like, ATP 500s and ATP 250s. But, like, it's a decent living. So, you know, I think people kind of have, like, a stigma or, like, look down on Challenger Tours, like, as it's, like, come up. And then if you get stuck in a Challenger Tour, like, if you just get stuck in that cycle, then you're just kind of bad. But it's just like, no, like, I know Thanasi Kokkinakis used Challenger Tours to ease his way back into playing at high-level tennis, because some of these guys play insanely high-level tennis. And, like, I was watching his match against Max Purcell this week, and I was just like, Thanasi's back. But also, like, Max is killing it. Like, Max gave him a run for his money. The scoreline does not say that. It was 6-2, 6-2, but it was just an absolute run for his money. So, like, I think people just have that stigma around Challenger Tours, like, they don't watch it just because the main boys aren't on there, but, like, you can find some pretty hidden talents out there. So just give it a try. You'll, trust me, you'll enjoy yourselves. But, yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. I really loved recording this. If you guys want to hear more stuff about the challenges, let me know. I will probably be doing more polls if I ever see. It's probably more interesting to do Challenger Tour updates when there's lots of next gen playing in challenges. So We'll see about that, but we'll see how it goes. Anyway, hope you guys are enjoying the Masters 1000 at the moment. Cincinnati's coming up. I know as I film this, Nadal's match has just started against Cilic, so I'm going to quickly end this podcast so I can get back to that. But enjoy, and I'll see you guys in the next one.